Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you all. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's go together before God in prayer. Lord, we are now coming to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise. And we do pray that indeed honor and glory would be from us to you forever and ever. As we are coming into your presence, not only our King and our God, but also our Father and our elder foster brother and the Spirit of holiness, we pray that you would fill us and equip us so that our worship here in this place at this time would be glorifying to you and edifying to us. And we pray these things of you in the name of the one who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture reading is found in the book of Exodus, chapter 24, verses 5 through 8. The book of Exodus 24, beginning at the first verse, let's hear the inerrant and infallible word of God. Then he sent young men of the children of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to Yahweh. And Moses took half the blood and put it in basins, and half the blood he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read in the hearing of the people. And they said, All that Yahweh has said we will do and be obedient. And Moses took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, Behold, the blood of the covenant which Yahweh has made with you according to all these words. May God bless the reading of his word. We're going to turn to the Apostles' Creed, page 851, in the back of the Psalter hymnal. By use of this ancient confession of faith, Christian, what do you believe? I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 26. Very short section. Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 through 29. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And then he took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. May God bless the reading of his word. Let's go together before him in prayer. Our Father, we give you thanks for this Sabbath day and the opportunity we have to assemble together to meet with you. You have called us here, and we have responded by coming, yes, but also by bringing to you songs, gifts, hearts and minds that hopefully are determined to hear you, to listen to you, and to obey you. And we also come because we're coming to this table where we will be taking the sacrament. We will be taking that oath of allegiance to our captain, to our general, and we will be swearing that his body was broken for us and his blood was spilled for us, not just for us, but for me. Corporately and individually, we'll be making that oath. And we pray that you will be blessing to us those signs and seals of the reality of Christ's body and Christ's blood. We thank you, Father, for the freedoms we have in this country. And while it is more than a little frustrating of how much attention is going on in the news about the campaign for president, which is more than a year from now before the voting, at least in this country, we do have a say. It's under your sovereignty so that you sometimes give us the kind of government we deserve. We would pray of you to be gracious and give us the kind of government we need, the kind that would be a blessing to your people in this country. And the greatest blessing we pray for the United States of America is that you give to your church repentance, renewal, revival, and reformation, for we need it. We pray all of these things, Father, of you, in Christ's precious name. Amen. Wow. So briefly, looking at the time, particularly briefly, let's go back to Exodus chapter 24. We actually have in Exodus chapter 19 verses, I'm going to give you some dates, some passages. Exodus 19, 3 through 8, the making of the covenant. We also have in Exodus 31, 12 through 17, the sign of the covenant. And I know I've read Exodus at least 50 sometimes in my life. Not enough, but at least that much. And I don't think I ever noticed that the sign of the covenant was Sabbath till this past week. In Exodus 34, verses 10 and 27, we have the remaking or the renewing of the covenant because it was broken by that calf. But we also have, and if there was time, I'd love to go through all of this together. In Joshua 8, verses 30 through 35, the covenant is renewed with another generation. Covenant is constantly being renewed. I have four or five references in 2 Chronicles. Chapter 14, chapter 15, chapter 23, chapter 29, all referring to covenantal renewal. Covenant is renewed. And what we do on every Sabbath day is a covenant renewal. And particularly when we come to this table because of what we do here. I wanted you to notice, I hope you did when we read it, but in Exodus chapter 24, there is the sacrifice that's taken, and Moses takes half the blood that was collected and he puts it on the altar. And then he takes the rest of it and in a bowl and he reads the book of the covenant, which includes the Ten Commandments, but it's larger than the Ten Commandments. And the people said, all that Yahweh has said, we will do, and we will be obedient. And then Moses takes the blood and he sprinkles it on the people. To the best of my knowledge, it's the first baptism in the Old Testament, in the Bible. Because that is a baptism, by the way. Hebrews tells us so. He baptizes them and says, behold, listen to those words, behold the blood of the covenant which Yahweh has made with you according to all these words. The Lord Jesus Christ cites, let's just turn there, we have that much time, Jeremiah chapter 31. Beginning with verse 31, Behold, the days are coming, says Yahweh, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant which I made by their father, with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says Yahweh. But this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Yahweh. I'll put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. By the way, that phrase is found throughout the whole Bible, and it's the covenant in just a couple words. I will be their God, they will be my people. That's the covenant, and that shall be for forever. No man will teach his neighbor, every man his brother, saying, know Yahweh, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. And then the passage we read, which I read almost every Lord's Day when we have the Lord's Supper, back in Matthew chapter 26. Verse 27, he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, do you hear the echo? Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood, which is of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. The blood of the covenant, echoing what Moses said when he baptized Israel with the blood of oxen. But the blood of the new covenant, echoing what Jeremiah, 600 years before Christ, telling Israel that there's a new covenant coming. We're studying on Wednesday nights Hebrews. There's a portion in Hebrews Hebrews is all about how things are better. There is a better covenant, a better sacrifice, a better temple, everything's better. Because the old covenant was the shadow. This is the reality. And we can't see it. In the old covenant, you could hear the ox or the sheep or the goat as their throat is slit and the blood is poured out. You could probably, if you have a sense of smell, which I don't have, you could smell it, and you could smell it as the animal is cooked, and then you could taste it as you eat the animal. But Hebrews tells us the blood of bulls and goats doesn't wash away sin. The blood of turtle doves and lambies will not make you clean. And that's why those sacrifices are repeated over and over and over again. Israel had sacrifices every morning and every evening of every day. And that was for the whole nation. And then there were the individuals coming to have their own personal sacrifice when they arrived. The nation making covenant renewal every morning and every evening, and individuals making covenant renewal when they come with their sacrifice. Over and over and over again, because the blood of bulls and goats and turtle doves and lambies do not make us clean. One sacrifice of one lamb by one high priest, one time. And that's what this table is about. And when we come to this table, we are renewing our commitment to him. We call it a sacrament because that's a Latin word referring to the oath that a soldier in the Roman army swore to his general. An oath of obedience and of commitment. And that word was taken up by the Latin-speaking church, which means Western Europe. That's where our roots are. The other side was Eastern Europe, and that's Greek. And they would have had a different word, which I have no idea what that would be. But at any rate, that's why we call it a sacrament. We come and we are swearing when we drink, when we eat the bread. We're swearing that his body was broken for us, but his body was broken for me as I eat. And when we drink the cup, we're swearing that his blood was spilled for us, but I'm swearing that his blood was spilled for me as I drink. Which is why if this is not a covenantal renewal. You have no business coming to the table. If you have not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you will be lying when you eat that bread and drink that cup. And there's a curse put on that. The Corinthian church, where probably they actually were believers, we're told in the Corinthian church, because of the way they misbehaved, because they had the Lord's Supper as part of a meal. We're going to have the Lord's Supper and then a meal. But they would have the meal and the Lord's Supper at the end of it. That was part of their worship service. I like worship services with food. We don't do that very often. But some people were hungry, and some people were drunk, and some people were stuffed. And because of that, Paul says, for that reason, many of you are sick, and some of you are asleep. That is, some of you have died. The discipline of God on the Corinthian church was such that some professing Christians were dead because of the way they treated this table. Which is why, when we come in just a moment, there'll be the warning. Don't come unless this is true of you. But you're going to be renewing your covenant. In the old Baptist days for Janet and me, they had services, and it was called a rededication. Sometimes you'd walk, because we had altar calls, sometimes you'd walk forward to rededicate your life to Christ. Well, brothers and sisters, that's what this table is. It's a rededication. Every Lord's Day is a rededication, but this particular one is even more so. Are you in covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he in covenant with you? One precious passage for me, and I can't remember the reference, I think it's Ephesians, is that you were, referring to a bunch of Gentiles, you were strangers and aliens to the covenants and promises. So was I. My parents weren't baptized. Well, my dad was baptized, but my parents never went to church. I was never baptized. I was a stranger and an alien. And God brought me into covenant with him 55 years ago, next Sunday afternoon. Now, you don't need to know the day or the hour or the place. God did that for me because Roy needed it. But if you haven't come into covenant with him, there's no better time than right now. Let's bow our heads and our hearts before him. Our Father and our God, those of us who are born strangers and aliens, give you thanks that you brought us into the covenant people. Not just into the covenant people externally, visibly, though we are, but you brought us into the covenant people invisibly. That is, you made us your children. And we're part of the church that is in heaven, and part of the true church that's on earth, and part of the church that hasn't even been born yet. The church that is the whole company of all the elect of all time. We don't know when time ends. We don't know when the last member of the elect will be regenerated. We just know it hasn't happened yet. But for those of us who have trusted in Christ, we give you thanks, whether we were born in the church and came to faith in the church and in a godly home, or whether we were born outside, no better than an ancient Philistine. And yet you saved us and made us your own. And we pray that, Lord, if there's any here, whether they're born in a godly family or not, they would trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our hope and our only hope. And for those of us who have trusted in him, we give you thanks for this table. Feed us on the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Since we've already read the words of institution, we'll move right into the warning and the instruction. The Lord's Supper is an ordinance instituted by our Lord Jesus Christ. Until his coming again, it is to be observed for a perpetual remembrance of the sacrifice of himself in his death. The physical elements representing the broken body and the shed blood of the Savior are received by true believers as signs and seals of all the benefits of his sacrifice upon the cross. They signify and seal remission of sins and nourishment and growth in Christ, and are a bond and pledge of communion of believers with him and with each other as members of his mystical body. As signs and seals of the covenant of grace, they not only declare that God is faithful and true to fulfill the promises of the covenant, but they also summon us to all the duties of the children of God, and they call us to a renewed consecration in gratitude for his salvation. It is my solemn duty to warn the uninstructed, the profane, the scandalous, and those who secretly and without repentance live in any sin not to approach the holy table, lest they partake unworthily, not discerning the Lord's body, and so eat and drink condemnation to themselves. This warning is not designed to keep the humble and repentant from the table of the Lord, as if the supper were for those of us who might be free from sin. On the contrary, we who are invited to the supper come as guilty and polluted sinners, and we come without hope of eternal life, apart from the grace of God in Christ. We confess our dependence for pardon and cleansing upon the perfect sacrifice of Christ. We base our hope of eternal life upon his perfect obedience and righteousness, and we humbly resolve to deny ourselves, to crucify our old natures, and to follow Christ as becomes those who bear his name. So then, in accordance with the admonition of the Apostle Paul, let's take a moment to examine our minds and our hearts. Do I have the discernment to come to this table to the end that we may partake, and that we may partake to the glory of God, and that we may partake to our growth in the grace of Christ? So let's go before him together. Our Father and our God, we give you thanks for the bread, not because so much it has some nutrition, though it does, but because it's the sign and seal of the body of Christ. The bread is broken as his body was broken. And by the breaking of his body, we're made whole. Some of that healing has already taken place in the souls and minds of those of us who've trusted in Christ. And there will be a day when our entire being, body and soul and mind and will and heart, and whatever Old Testament or New Testament words we have, will be fully restored, fully healed of all the marks of sin. And we'll be able to look you in the face. Bless this to us. Feed us on Christ, we pray. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Father, we have little people in our presence this evening, this morning. Some of them pretty little, indeed. And from the time we were that age, or shortly thereafter, we have memories of, we know that when we would fall and skin our knee, break the skin, blood would come out. When the body of Christ was broken by whips and thorns and nails and a spear, his blood poured out, just like the blood of a lamb at the sacrifice of the temple, because he was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. and by his blood we are washed. By his blood we're made clean and pure. And we thank you for this cup, which is the sign and seal of his blood. It has a little bit of nourishment because it's grape juice. But that which we feed on here is not predominantly the grape juice. But by faith, we feed on the blood of Christ. By faith, we're made his. We're made clean by that blood. Bless the cup to us, we pray. In Christ's precious name, amen. Our Savior also took the cup after the supper and gave thanks. And then he gave it to his disciples, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Drink ye all of it." Our Father, as a hymn writer said, you know, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing, and oh, for a thousand years," and we cannot begin to give thanks for what you've done for us in your Son. But then we owe thanks not just to you, Father, but also to your Son for what he has done. And we owe thanks to the Holy Spirit of God who gave us the gifts of repentance and faith so that we could actually trust in him and turn from our sins. So we give thanks to the Trinity, the three-in-one God, because all three members of you have had a part in our salvation, and we owe all that we are to our God. We ask you would bless us and help us to walk with you. And we ask it of you in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.